אתם עם SBS בעברית.
שלום אוסטרליה. Prime Minister Netanyahu held a press conference on Thursday night where he promised the Israeli public that the army would fight on until it had a complete victory over Hamas and Hezbollah. Still on Thursday, Hamas was able to fire rockets at Sderot. The IDF says over 1,000 rocket launching sites in Gaza have been destroyed. More than 242 soldiers have been killed in the fighting, and hundreds more have been injured. Troops fired warning shots in an attempt to disperse a mob of Palestinians rushing an aid convoy in northern Gaza on Thursday morning, as dozens were killed amid a crowd crush. The tragedy occurred as the IDF coordinated a convoy of 38 trucks to provide additional humanitarian assistance to the residents of northern Gaza. The aid came from Egypt, but went through a security screening at the Kerem Shalom humanitarian crossing in Israel and then entered Gaza for distribution by private contractors. As these humanitarian supplies made their way towards Gazans in need, thousands of Gazans rushed the trucks. Some began violently pushing and trampling other Gazans to death, looting the humanitarian supplies. The IDF released a video of the incident after international media reported that Israel had killed the Gazans. The tanks that were there to secure the convoy saw Gazans being trampled and cautiously tried to disperse the mob with a few warning shots. When the hundreds became thousands and things got out of hand, the tank commander decided to retreat to avoid harm to the thousands of Gazans that were there. Radical activists participating in a protest by the Erez crossing between northern Gaza and Israel violently broke through an IDF checkpoint and crossed into Gazan territory on Thursday. The activists made it some 500 meters inside Gaza before being stopped. They were eventually turned back by IDF soldiers and then taken back to Israel. They did not succeed in preventing humanitarian aid entering Gaza. Hezbollah ramped up its attacks on Israel during the week, firing rockets into settlements in the Golan, near Sfat, and towards Haifa. Israel responded with airstrikes deep into Syria. There were 20 terrorist incidents in Israel in February. On Thursday, Yitzhak Zeiger, 57-year-old father of three, was slain while pumping petrol near Eli, and Uriah Hatum, age 16, was also shot down. The gunman, a policeman in the Palestinian Authority who stole a car to arrive to carry out the attack, was shot dead at the scene by a restaurateur. Police on Thursday further expanded efforts to find a 9-year-old girl from Sfat who has been missing since Sunday, as evidence of her whereabouts remained elusive. Haimanot Kaso was last seen in security footage at 7:45 p.m. on Sunday, handing out municipal election leaflets outside the Jewish Agency Absorption Center, where she's lived for the past 3 years since immigrating with her family from Ethiopia. Thousands of professionals and volunteers were engaged in the search for her in and around the city. Israelis from across the country had the opportunity to go to the polls on Tuesday, although many took the day off and did not exercise their rights. In Jerusalem, where only 31% voted, mayoral incumbent Moshe Leon defended challenger Yossi Habilio to win another 5-year term as mayor, winning with a resounding 81.5%. In Tel Aviv, Ron Huldai was re-elected as Tel Aviv mayor after opponent Orna Barbivai conceded on Wednesday morning. Huldai, 79, has served as the mayor of Tel Aviv since 1998. Haifa will have a runoff vote in the mayoral race, with the former mayor, Yona Yahav, leading with 36.33% of the vote, but failing to cross the 40%, which would have given him an immediate victory. He will be in the runoffs with David Etzion, who finished second with 21.9% of the vote. Incumbent mayor Kalish Rotem will not move on to the second round, having received only 4.5% of the vote. Kalish Rotem made history in 2018 when she became the first woman to lead one of the three largest cities in Israel. The number of female representatives in city councils across the country saw a significant rise, but the number of female mayors in the country remained very low. Official results have still not been announced in all places due to the large number of soldiers and others unable to cast their votes in the local polling stations. The extreme right and Likud saw losses across the country. Shas was successful in increasing its control in a number of cities. Hopes for a ceasefire in Gaza before Ramadan weakened at the end of the week, with Hamas making a number of demands that Israel will not consider. After agreeing to a deal by which Israel would release 100 prisoners for each hostage released, hopes were raised. But Hamas insists on the resettlement of the north of Gaza during the ceasefire, and this would allow Hamas fighters to return while Israel was not in control. The families of the hostages continue to demand that the return of their loved ones must be Israel's first priority. On Saturday night and again on Thursday night, huge rallies were held across the country. Defense Minister Yoav Gallant called for an end to military exemptions for members of the ultra-Orthodox community on Wednesday and said he would only back legislation settling the matter if it is endorsed by centrist ministers Benny Gantz and Gadi Eisenkot. Gallant said manpower strains on the army amidst fighting in Gaza and on the northern border required the contribution of all sectors of society. He urged MKs to hash out legislation to address a situation in which most ultra-Orthodox men skip military service. The legislation which provides the exemption has now expired, and unless a new agreement is reached, in the next round of call-ups, the Haredi community will be included, which will cause a major crisis for the government. Gallant's position is in direct opposition to those parties whose support is essential to the survival of Prime Minister Netanyahu's ruling coalition. Netanyahu dodged the question about Gallant's position at Thursday's press conference, repeating that the worst thing that could happen to us is a general election in mid-war, which would spell defeat in the war. He said, "I'm sure that the defense minister is aware of the implications of general elections and the grave danger to the state of Israel if the war goals are not achieved, so I am sure we will find a solution." Israel's war cabinet has ruled that National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir will not be permitted to bar Arab Israelis from worshipping at the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount during Ramadan. The war cabinet, made up of Prime Minister Netanyahu, Defense Minister Gallant and Minister Benny Gantz, as well as other ministers who serve as observers, decided that it would be the sole body to make decisions regarding policy at Al-Aqsa. Ben-Gvir said in mid-February that Palestinian residents of the West Bank should be barred from attending services at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem during Ramadan, and that he was also seeking to limit Arab-Israeli visitors. Also on Wednesday, Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh called on Palestinians in Jerusalem and the West Bank to march to Al-Aqsa Mosque to pray on the first day of Ramadan, which will fall on March the 10th. Netanyahu said at the press conference that there was a preparatory discussion at which Ben-Gvir spoke his mind, but said we will have additional discussions at the start of the week. Ultimately, we will ensure freedom of worship in accordance with security conditions. We have no intention of stopping Muslims' freedom of worship. He said if Israel were not sovereign on the Temple Mount, there would not be freedom of worship for the three faiths. And on Wednesday night, thousands attended the second meeting of Hasmol Ha'emuni, the religious left, where the discussion was around the religious obligation to free hostages, pidyon shvuyim, at almost any price. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.